Isaiah chapter 50. The message today is the will of God. The will of God. I want to read several passages. As I do, try to connect them. See how all of them have to do with God's will. And look in Isaiah chapter 50 at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to sustain with words, speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. The Lord hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. Now turn to Psalm 40. These references have to do with our Savior. And so in Psalm 40, look at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you have no delight in, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then said I, lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. These are the words of Christ. This is a prophetical psalm, a messianic psalm. And now Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now Luke 4. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered as his custom was into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and so forth. And what we have in Luke 4 is what I read to you in Isaiah 61. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 26, because we've seen the will of God for the Savior. And here in Acts chapter 26, we'll read about the will of God for Saul of Tarsus. In verse 15, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus is converted, and this light shines forth from heaven, and in verse 15 he says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but arise and stand upon thy feet. For to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, Romans chapter 12. Perhaps I'll give you other references to the will of God in the lives of these. But for now, starting at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. For you know what charge we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God, that no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as also we forewarned you and testified. And let's have one more reference in chapter 5. Look at verse 16. 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these various passages that we've read about your will. We are thankful, our God, that in this world where man comes with a question upon his mind, why am I here? What is the meaning of it all? We are thankful that you have left us in no doubt from the Word of God. We are thankful for the many portions and yet the few portions that we've read concerning your will. And we pray, our God, that we might understand better what you would have us to do. From the things that we've read, not only about ourselves, but about others as well. So help us, our Father, to know thy will, to do thy will. We thank you for all the material blessings of life. We thank you that we were here to remember your Son, as he said, this do in remembrance of me. And now he also said to preach the gospel to every creature and teach them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And that is what we would do now. Having learned how to be saved, Father, we would learn your will for our lives. So undertake for us and help us physically, mentally, and spiritually as we commit all into thy hands, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. There is not one creature of God, human or animal, for which God does not have a will. If you read in the first part of Genesis, you will understand what God wanted man to do. But when he created the animals, he tells them what to do as well. And if you read in the Psalms, you get a wonderful picture of what God has done with the animals, where he has placed them, and he tells them what to do. He tells us the wisdom of the animals. He tells us about the ox knoweth his master's crib. He tells us about the intelligence of animals and how they do his will and how they are under the power of his will. And then he tells us about man as well. And what is so sad is that man, for whom God has a will, is the one who violates his will most of all. And there were angels from the very first that had a will to glorify their Maker, but some were disobedient and they were cast out. But now there is not one holy angel that does not do the will of God. And so when God made his creation, he had something for every creature to do. And most of the time, we're liable to think that God is not interested in someone like myself. I can understand that he would have a will for his son. Of course, the Lord Jesus, the one who is the image and likeness of God, why, of course, God would have a will for him. And concerning the Apostle Paul, yes, of course you would have a will for him, but we are creatures of the dust. We are nobodies. And if you would save us, that would be enough. And it would be. But what happens is this. If you give your testimony, tell the time when the light of the gospel of the grace of God from Jesus Christ shined upon you, you would tell me how, when that happened, you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good. That's when we will place our faith in the Lord Jesus. If we can say that the Apostle Paul, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But what happens is this, that man receives the light, but man flees from the light. But we who have received the light, we say, yes, Lord, let the light flood my soul. Let your truth show me what I am and what Christ is. That is fine. Yes. But having shown us the light, he tells us more things than just how you get saved. We are saved through faith in Christ, yes. But the Lord Jesus said this. He said to Paul, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so God has not only his will for all mankind. Tell me one man that God does not will to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. The Lord Jesus tells us that. And Peter tells us that. If a man will not be saved, it is because what the Lord Jesus tells us in John's Gospel. He says, you search the Scriptures, and in them you find them testifying of me. And you will not come unto me, that you may have life. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved. And so I know that the will of God for all men is to be saved. And God gives every man a greater or lesser opportunity to be saved. It says that he lights every man that comes into the world. And so God, to a greater or lesser degree, shows men how to be saved. And he wants them to do his will. when a sinner is convicted by the Spirit of sin and righteousness and judgment, what God wills is for that man to accept this conviction of the Spirit and to say yes to all these things. But they resist, as Stephen said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. But thank God that all of us, drawn by the Spirit of God, made us to see that Christ died for our sins upon the cross. We said yes to the Lord Jesus. But that's not the end of the matter. That is the beginning of the matter. Because it's a small thing for God to save you. He gave His Son, yes. What greater thing could He give? But having done that, He says, I'm not through with you. I'm just starting with you. And then He reveals His will. He reveals His will to angels. He reveals His will to His Son. He reveals His will to His special chosen ones, like the Apostle Paul, and He reveals His will to all of us. And so the important thing is this, not to ask the question, I wonder if it's possible for me to ever know the will of God. It's impossible for you not to know the will of God if you read the Word of God. Why? Because there are three ways that the Lord Jesus ascertained His Father's will, and part of the ways that He learned His Father's will are the same as the way that we learn the Father's will. Consider this first of all. Our Savior, in the prophets and in the Psalms, is spoken of as to what He's going to do when He comes to the earth. When God manifests in the flesh, comes upon the scene, what is He going to do? And Isaiah 61 tells us what He's going to do. And so from the Word of God, prophetically, what the Lord Jesus was to do when He came into the world was laid out step by step. He says this, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. Think, that's the Savior in prophetical scriptures has looked and seen what God's will is going to be for him when he comes upon the earth, when he's born of the Virgin Mary. And so Christ knew the will of God from the prophetical scriptures. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus knew the will of God orally because His Father spoke to Him from heaven. I will couple that with the Apostle Paul knowing the will of God, because even though John the Baptist was prophetically spoken of as the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, I have not read that the Apostle Paul was prophetically spoken of, but I know this, that God had His eye upon him as He did upon us, because we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and He knew what He wanted Paul to do. But unlike you and me, He told Paul personally what He wanted him to do, what His will was for his life. Now, you say, well, if He were to speak to me that way, why, I would obey that will. Why, anybody that heard Jesus speak to him and tell him what to do, he would do it. Oh, but he wouldn't. The Lord Jesus said to those to whom He spoke, and I'm thinking of the rich young ruler, He said, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. But it says that his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. What does it mean? It means that God tells his will to some, but instead of saying with the Apostle Paul, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, the Lord Jesus speaks to them, and they are disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let me tell you an example that is unparalleled in the Old Testament. God speaks to Jonah, and he says to him, go and tell the Ninevites, yet 40 days, and I will destroy Nineveh. And as the Apostle Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. And he went and got in a ship that was going to Tarshish. So do not think that just because you know the will of God, that you're going to do the will of God. Some of us, when we hear the will of God, say, that is just what I do not want to do. That is why when we come out on Wednesday night and read of all these missionaries in the far-flung places of the earth, I marvel. How is it that they knew to go to Argentina? How did they know to go to China? How did they know to go to the Philippines, to Japan? I assume and I trust that they heard it from the will of God, the Spirit speaking to them in their souls, and they said, I'm going to obey the voice of God speaking within my heart, and I'm going to do what He's told me to do. That's the way it should be. But not all of us say with the Apostle Paul, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Some of us, like Jonah, when God says, go to Nineveh, what we do is to turn our backs on God and we go to Tarshish. But understand this, that having saved our souls, He tells us what He wants us to do. And the remarkable thing about the Lord Jesus and about the Apostle Paul is this. Listen to the Lord Jesus as He prays at the last part of His life. He says, I have finished the work that You gave me to do. Isn't that remarkable? His whole life long, even though just over 30 years, he never swerved from doing the will of God. And at the end of his life, he said, I have finished the work that You gave me to do. You say, well, he was the Son of God. The Apostle Paul also, who said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, in Acts 26 tells us this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me treasure in heaven. And so the Apostle Paul says the same thing that the Lord Jesus did. All that You gave me to do, Father, I have done. I have completed the work that You gave me to do. And concerning ourselves, I wonder if we have even begun to do the work that God has placed upon us. And if we have begun to do it, I wonder how imperfectly we do that work. I'm thinking of Timothy. He was one that Paul says, I have no man like-minded other than Timothy. Here was one who fought the way the Apostle Paul did, but he said to him, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He says to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Some of us, just because we've begun to do God's will, and we do God's will, it doesn't mean that we do at all, but we have to be encouraged and exhorted as we go along the way to do that will. Why? Because not all of us, even to the Lord Jesus, is the will of God some easy thing to do. Now, let me put two things side by side. I've shown you that the Lord Jesus knew the Father's will from the Scripture, and also from the very voice of God speaking to him. Was it easy to do the will of God? I read you in Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will. Is it hard to do anything that you delight to do? You say no. But I did not read you of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said this, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Was that easy? You say, his heart's desire, if it were possible, was for that cup to pass from me. However, to show you that he was going to do God's will, whether it was a delightful thing, or whether it was one that was a burden that crushed his soul, he still said, not my will, but thine be done. And the Apostle Paul was one in like manner who was prepared to do God's will, however painful it was. If you read in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 what Paul went through, you will understand what Christ meant when he said this, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the Apostle Paul starts enumerating them in 2 Corinthians 11, and he continues them in 2 Corinthians 12. And the Lord Jesus prayed, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In like manner, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he said to the Father three times, take this thorn away from me. Remove this thorn in the flesh. He said it one time, two times, three times. And finally, the Lord Jesus said to him from heaven, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so here the Apostle Paul, having been told, as the Lord Jesus ascertained, that the Father wasn't going to remove that cup, but he wanted him to drink it, the Apostle Paul understood that the Father wanted him to bear that thorn in the flesh, that he might not become puffed up and proud because of all the revelations that he had experienced. And he said, most gladly, therefore, will I suffer all these privations and all of these burdens that God places upon me, that the power of God might be manifest in my life. He said, wherefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And so here is one, the Apostle Paul, who, having been told at the very first what the will of God was, had to learn throughout his life, day by day, what the will of God was. And that is where you and I come in. We find in the Holy Scriptures just what God would have us to do. But after that, we have to continue to read the Word of God, and we have to continue to pray to God. And that's why I read to you Isaiah 50. You would think that being God manifest in the flesh, the Savior would never need to commune with the Father to ask what his will was. But the Lord Jesus said this in Isaiah 50. When he prayed to the Father, he said, he wakes my ear morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as those that are taught. And so the Lord Jesus, knowing God's will in a general way, had to know God's will specifically day by day. And this is what he said, he wakens mine ear morning by morning. And the Lord Jesus, a great while before the day, would get up and go and separate himself from the disciples so that they had to come look for him. But he was praying to God. And in Luke 6, he prayed all night to God before he chose the 12 apostles. And so the Lord Jesus did not simply at the beginning of his ministry say, Father, what do you want me to do? And the Father told him everything at one time. But in a general way, he told him what he was to do. And the Lord Jesus did that. But whom do you want me to heal today? What message do you want me to give today? and the Lord Jesus would go and pray, and it says this, accept the scripture, he wakens my ear morning by morning. And so each morning the Lord Jesus would pray, and the Father would tell him what he was to do for that day. And do you realize that the Lord Jesus, who knew the Father's mind more than anyone else, before he performed any miracle, always prayed? You say, why? Why would he need to pray? This is what he says in John chapter 11. He says, when he goes up to the tomb of Lazarus, he says, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. He said, but for the sake of those that are here, I said it. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And so he said he prayed before he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he said he always prayed, and the Father always heard his prayer. And to show you how essential it was, is that when the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 5, went to the pool of Bethesda, it was filled with a multitude of sick people. And he went up to one of them and said, would you be made whole? And he healed that one and left the rest of them there sick and suffering. Why? Because the Father opened his ear and said, today I want this man healed. And he did not mention the others. On some days, they would bring multitudes to him, and he would heal them all. But at other times, he would go where there was a multitude of sick people, and he would heal one. And why did he behave that way? Man might criticize him. In fact, they did in John chapter 11. When he waited 4 days before he came, when Martha and Mary had said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. He waited 4 days and let Lazarus die. Why? Because it was his Father's will to wait. And when he waited that long, the people were talking against him, saying, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have prevented that Lazarus died? And the answer is yes. But each morning he learned the will of God. And so for you and me, this is what is so pitiful. We read plainly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you miss meetings? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Tell me, are you moral? Do you refrain from sexual sin? This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication and fleshly lust. Do you present your body a living sacrifice to God? You say, why should I? Because God tells you to in Romans chapter 12. Do you give thanks for all things? You say, for all things? Yes, as the Apostle Paul did when he had that thorn in the flesh. And the only people who can know God's will and do God's will and endure God's will and carry on to the end are those who read the scripture and who pray and who hear God's leading in their hearts by the Spirit. And so does God have a will? There is no one for whom God does not have a will. And so let us be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have not left any creature in the dark if he will open the word as to why he is here, what you expect of him. And especially, Father, we have no right to say, I do not know God's will, when your Spirit is within us and the word can be held in our hands. And so we pray, our Father, that as Paul learned your will, as your Son learned your will, that we may learn your will, and having learned it, say with Paul, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Let us not be only those who rejoice that we trusted Christ when we were convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, but let us be those also who have gone through life day by day doing your will. Let us be those who pray day by day, not my will, but thine be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let us be children of God who do thy will. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.